The Lord matured my thinking. He showed me some different things and such, and then talking to some people, reading on some stuff, which is, you know, something that I normally never did. But it was a pastor gave me some books, and I thought, well, you know, I'll go through here. And you know what? It's a bit, some pretty good stuff in those books, but I don't agree with everything. I don't have to. It's okay. Don't line up with my Bible, and I'm just not going to agree with it. Okay? Just how I, that's how I roll. Okay? And so, and I'm not saying nothing bad about anybody. I'm just saying that's how I do things. Okay? And so, it's been a good study, but it's been a hard study. Because in this, in these times of studying, now all this pressure from Liberty Behind Bars is on top of me. All this pressure of my family being home and me having to work things out, and, you know, amongst my family. I still got a family to run.
Amen.
I still have a family that I got to pay attention to. I mean, you can see them sitting there. I still got to come home and deal with the problems and deal with situations. I got to make sure that things are in order, things are going right, especially because God says he's not going to hear my prayer if I treat that woman wrong.
Amen.
I don't need God not to hear my prayer right now. I need him to hear it more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I love treating her good, though. She's the woman that the Lord gave me, and I love treating her the way she deserves to be treated. I don't always do that, but this study has it's taken a lot out of me. It's really, for hours and hours, I'm sitting there, and I don't mind the studying, but it does get taxing, right? It does take a toll on you when you have so much other going on, but I can't say that I would give up any of those moments that I've had to study with the Lord, especially when it gets in it. And I just, I wouldn't pass that up, but let me just give a quick recap. We're in Leviticus chapter 4, and we were just finishing up about the common people. And so I kind of want to just do a quick little recap on what was going on here in Leviticus chapter 4. So in the first, we see that the offering for the priest, the blood was sprinkled 7 times before the veil. And on the horns of the altar of sweet incense, that's in verse 6 and 7, okay? And so we're going to see that in different parts, for whoever that God is dealing with at this time, the blood is sprinkled 7 times. That's only done for the priest and the congregation. It's not done for the ruler or the common people. Then they're put in certain places, right? So this here is the altar of incense. The blood is sprinkled on the altar of incense before the veil. God's sitting on the other side of that veil. And every priest, I'm telling people that Jesus Christ, his blood is the one that tore that veil away for us. Now we don't have that veil, but Jesus Christ is standing. Is what it says? He's our advocate, right? He's standing there between us and God. And we're able to talk to God now and have that relationship and fellowship with God, all because that his blood was sprinkled and he tore down that wall. And what a good thing here. But we see that the horns of the altar of incense was that God reconciling him with that sinner, with that priest, and his prayers are now being heard, right? And so there's times in our life we don't understand, why isn't God hearing my prayers? You got something in between you and him. There's something there, and he's going to bring it to you, and he wants you to reveal it. That's what the priest was doing here when he sprinkled that blood on that altar of incense. It was a cleansing of his prayers, so God would hear right. He's making himself right for God. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go out and do all this to get right with God?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ went and took 600 and some of these laws and sacrifices, and he done it? Because, man, I'd be in a whole lot of trouble. I couldn't even keep 10 commandments. I couldn't even keep 2 of the commandments. Now you break one of them, you're guilty of all of them. And so I thank God for his mercy on taking care of this. But the congregation sacrifice was also sprinkled 7 times before the veil and before the altar. It doesn't specify what altar this one is, okay? In the congregation, it doesn't say whether it's the altar of incense or the burnt offering altar. It doesn't say that. Okay, so I don't have any guesses on what altar it is. I'm assuming that possibly it's the altar of burnt sacrifice, since the priest is separate. But then again, this is God's congregation that he's talking about. This is somebody, these are people who are special. Did you know that us sitting in this church are special to God?
Amen.
We are his people, we are a special person. And that's why you see here, it's a picture of his church, those who are faithful, those who are saved sitting in the pews. It's a picture of God wanting to make it right, wanting that church to be without blemish, right? Jesus Christ wants to offer it up to God without blemish, and he's the one who cleanses that church. And I told you last week that we all have individual accountability, but we have a corporate accountability. Where as a church, we're responsible for the way we spend money and the decisions that we make and so on. That's a corporate responsibility that God has given us here. And so it's a special person, but here it says, they don't specify, but in the context, in verse 18, this priest would be standing, excuse me, it wouldn't even be the priest, he'd be the elder. And my wife corrected me on that last week. He'd be the elder here who stood in the place of the congregation. Amen. You know, it is easy, Pastor, when your wife can correct you because that relationship you have.
Oh,
with each
I love
other.
It, brother. It's good.
But it wasn't always like that for me and my wife. If she would open her mouth against me or me against her, it would have been a war. Okay, it would have been a war. But thank God for His mercy and His goodness to me and my wife and what He's given us. And look what it says here. So then you have the sacrifice for the ruler. Here the blood is not sprinkled seven times before the veil, but the blood is applied to the horns of the burnt offering, okay? And so this is special here because, and that's in verse 25 of chapter 4, God is showing them that He's accepting this sacrifice for Him, okay? Rulers today have bad names, right? You know, people are always shooting down rulers and stuff like that. But in God, in this time, you know, they're always still important. That's why it says to pray for those who are in authority.
That's right.
What else does it say? Be subject unto those that are in authority? Oh, man. Woo! That's a hard thing to follow today. Everybody looks at me, the ex-convict, but yet they have problems with authority today. And you know what? I was brave enough to live mine on the outside. Some of you just live it on the inside. Still can't be subject unto authority. And look at me, because old Dale has a criminal history. You got a criminal history with God that's more important than the one I have.
Amen.
I guarantee you that, you know why? Mine's been cleansed. Mine's been taken away. It's been washed away. It's not there. Yeah, in society, it may be there. Somebody can go look up my name and it's all there laid out, but that's okay because God is taking care of that. It doesn't bother me that I have that anymore. It used to tear me apart. It used to tear my wife apart. No longer. It's not who I am today. I'm a new creature. I have Jesus Christ living inside of me. Old things are passed away. Not hope they're going to pass away. No, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is not a hope that I have. It's something that happens. It's a real thing that goes on in a Christian.
Oh, I love it. Amen.
Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. People just look at that verse and they'll shoot it out to you like it's supposed to be some magic thing. No, this is something that happens. It's alive. Isn't it saying in the book of Hebrews that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's alive?
Amen.
It does something to people. It changes them. Thank God for His mercy. Thank you for allowing me to be subject unto authority. You see, today I'm on Facebook Live. Why is that? Because my pastor suggested it. It took me a minute. I was being a rebel. But you know what? I told my wife, you go ahead and just do it then. If that's what we need to do, then we're going to do it. I still got to learn. Still got to learn. But you know, here's the rulers. Oh, Christian, may I say something on who's watching us outside these doors when we're not being subject unto the authority, when we're not praying for them? Yeah, does it mean we have to agree with everything? No, it does not. Does it mean we have to agree with their doctrine is or what their politics are? No, but we need to be subject to them. We need to be praying for them because if I remember correctly, the Bible says that God has appointed all powers. God is the one who put all powers in, whether for good or evil. Amy says this, doesn't it bother you that they might be peeking in on our home? What do I have to hide? Let them peek.
Amen.
Get the peeking. I got nothing to hide. The government wants to look at my home? Go ahead, look at my home. You want to tape record us? Tape record us. I have zero to hide. I don't care.
Amen.
That stuff doesn't bother me to hear that. I'm not some nut walking around thinking everybody's always after me and the government's going to do this to me. Then go ahead, do it. You know why? Because those who are worried must have something evil in their life that they're worried about.
Amen.
Just saying. I don't know where that went, but we'll just... Look at here, the sacrifice of the common people. Look at what it says here. There's two sacrifices for the common people. Please remember that. Just before I forget, my wonderful wife made a chart for everybody who wants one.
Amen.
On the sin of ignorance. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you want to, you take one of these. You don't have to give it to me. I don't have to look at it. But you take one of these and then go find the New Testament references. Okay?
Amen.
Number two. Hopefully, maybe by next week or maybe by next Wednesday, we're going to have chapters 1 through 4 done this way as well. Okay?
Amen.
Just give you something to do, something to look at and go through it for yourself. And so I wanted to put that out there before I forgot about that because sometimes I do forget. And so here we see the sacrifice of the common people. There's two of them, whether it was a goat or a lamb. The blood was not sprinkled, but it was applied to the horn of the altar. That's in verse 30 and 34. And then this, you know, these sacrifices and the way they're done, it goes to show the position and the responsibility of the people, okay? God is showing you that the priest, he's the one that has much, he has got a big position, he has a lot of responsibility to God. See, people get it mixed up today, they have a responsibility to man. We have a responsibility to God first and foremost. We are called a royal priesthood in the New Testament. That means we have a priesthood unto God. Okay? Man comes second. But we have a priesthood unto God. And so there's a position, especially men who are missionaries, men who are missionaries, men who are pastors, men who are preachers, evangelists. Listen, we have a higher responsibility and a higher position, not better. I'm not better than anybody. Nobody's better than anybody. We're all sinners, saved by grace. But we have a responsibility to God that I've watched around, I travel on, I look and I go, oh my goodness, what are they responsible to? And sure ain't the God, same God I serve. The God that they serve is man. The God that they're serving is their self. You see, that position used to mean something to somebody. Mm-hmm. Having that responsibility of souls, not a profession, but of souls and a changed life, of people who are in the pews, who have an absolute changed life, that meant something to somebody one day. But it's rarely out there anymore. Everybody just runs to and fro. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12 says that. There's going to be a famine, not of bread and water, but of the hearing of the word of God. And it says, what are people going to be doing? They're going to be running to and fro. They're not going to find it.
That's right.
God have mercy on us who have the word of God, who have the truth. We should be out there. Listen, we know that there's other perversions out there. But let me just tell you this. They're out there spreading their perversions like they have the truth. Yet here we are, old King James Bible-believing Baptists who have the truth, and we won't even go out there and put it out there. We have the truth. We have it. But listen, where are we in the front lines of things? Where are we out there? We've gone wayward. We're more in tune to pleasing man. Verse 31, we see again that only the fat is burned on the altar. Verse 32 through 35, we see that the sacrifice, that can be also of a lamb, but a female without blemish, okay? And so the reason why this can be a female without blemish is because this is a common person. And that's going to be reiterated next on Wednesday when we look at the trespass, when we look at the trespass offering and the guilt offering, you can see that a female lamb can be used during an intentional sin. Somebody who knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. A female can be used. Why? Because it's only for common people and the rulers. It's not for the priest or the congregation. You can't use a female for either one of them, ever. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's only for the ruler and the common people that can be used. Okay? Then God's going to give us a list. In chapter 5, he's going to give us a list, but it's a short list. He doesn't. Could you imagine? I was reading on one man who came up with a list who would that would match Leviticus 5. He came up with over 800 sins that would have to be covered under. God gives us a short list, but in that list, you'll see where it's specific. It will cover more than just one area. When he gives this sin of this or gives this or this, it will cover a big magnitude of an area. Okay, so people go, these are the only ones he's worried about? No, it's a whole area with it. It's those things that are included with it. You know, you follow the Ten Commandments, you appear a pretty good Christian. But you know, we can't follow the Ten Commandments, okay? But I'm just saying, so you know, God gives us those things out there, and he can't. Listen, even Jesus, I think it was Jesus Christ said that not everything that happened could be written in the Bible. It couldn't contain all the books in the world. One of the apostles said, okay, thank you. It couldn't contain everything that happened, okay? And so the things that God wants us to know that are important to him are sitting right here in our Bible. Ain't that something? We don't even have to change it.
Amen.
We can just leave it just like it is, read it just like it is, and study it, and come to learn how to live it and love it, okay? Listen, there is a difference between knowing a King James Bible and living it. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm coming to see more and more that people are reading it and not living it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Look at verse 33 here. We see again that the laying of the hands of the head is of the one that brought this sacrifice to make it personal, to show the seriousness of sin, and to transfer it one from another. You know, there's even, if you turn with me real quick to Mark chapter 5, I want to show you before I end this, I want to show you that there's a place where Jesus Christ, and there's a few places, but I'll show you one place where this happens with Jesus Christ, okay? Where he puts his hand. The sinner puts their hand on him, and there's a transfer that takes place. Okay, there's a transfer that takes place. And this is the fulfillment of what we see here in Leviticus, okay? Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. We'll start there. And look what it says. And it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and that's going to come out of the book of Leviticus, and I'll show you where that's at, and had suffered many things of the physicians. We see there's no help in the world. Why we keep running to the world is beyond me, but I thank God that the world gave up on me, because when they did, Jesus Christ stepped in, and I thank God for it. But seeking help from many physicians and spent all that she had, it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. My goodness, that's not a picture of America. When she heard of Jesus, came in and what? Pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. You see, she didn't doubt that. You know, she didn't say, well, maybe if I touch it, maybe I'll be clean. Maybe I'll be made whole. Oh, no. Let me tell you this. When she heard of this man, Jesus Christ, if you back up a few verses, and she was condemned to be unclean under the book of Leviticus, where she could not be around anybody because she went past her time. Because a woman is given 7 days to be unclean unless they go past her time. She's past her time 12 years. She heard of this man, Jesus Christ. And when she heard of him, now remember, there's nobody in the house with her. There's no Roman's robe being done here. There's no pray after me. No, you know what she does? She kicks that door. So she throngs the people. She's thronging the people. She's moving them out of the way. Would to God we can get sinners to want to move everything out of the way to get to Jesus.
Amen.
But you know, she had to believe. That's what it says. When she heard and believed, this man can do something for me. She's out there. She gets to him. She didn't say, oh, maybe. Should I? No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Bam! A transfer takes place. Look what it says here. And she says, and straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt where in her body that she was healed of the plague. Remember when she first came, there was an issue. You see, many people are trying to come to Jesus Christ with their issue. He's not worried about your issue. He's worried about the plague of your heart. And look what it says here. I don't have time to get into that. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue was gone out of him. That laying of the hands of that man is a picture of that transfer. And here we see that happens with Jesus Christ. He didn't just dry up her physical ailment. She's get saved. Her faith has made her whole. That saving faith that she got. And guess what happens? His virtue. That means, my friend, in case you didn't know, we're not born with virtue. Virtue only comes when Jesus Christ saves us.
Amen.
We're not virtuous people. I don't care if you're a goody two-shoe and you've never broken the law whatsoever on the outside down here, but you've broken God's laws. You are not a virtuous person. When Jesus Christ saves us, guess what happens? He takes those upon himself, as Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 50 talks about, and then he gives us virtue. That's something the blood of bulls and goats can never do. It could never take away who they are. It could never take away that sin. It could never take that plague of that heart. But here we see Jesus Christ doing that. And I'm going to close with this. I don't believe Jesus heals all aspects of a person's physical life upon salvation.
That's right.
Only the ones that would prevent that person from serving him at the capacity that he has for each and every individual.
That's right.
There are people who get saved in a wheelchair, but it does not stop them from getting to Jesus Christ and worshiping him and praying to him and reading their Bible. You see, God doesn't, if that's the case, why am I still having my physical ailments?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop me from serving Jesus Christ, though they're there. And it's quite prevalent in my life. You come and live in my house, you'll see the pain that comes to my body. The wonderful thing is, Tim, I don't have that when I'm up here.
Amen.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, I'll pay a price for it later. Ask my wife and my kids. But I'm okay. That price is worth it.
Amen.
But you see, God only takes away those things in a person's physical life that will prevent them from serving him. Those things that will not prevent them from serving him, he'll leave them right there. Why? That's how he keeps you under control. God keeps me perfectly where he wants me to with this body the way he keeps it. Why? I pray more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more apt to seek him out for help. I'm more apt to draw nigh unto God and not being just close unto God. I'm more apt to draw nigh unto God. Lord, I need you for help in this blood pressure situation, or my pain, Lord, is unbearable. Would you help me see? I get to have a more of a communication. I get to see that. Listen, what did Paul do? He prayed how many times? And God did take it away? No, he says, my grace. We got to learn how to live under God's grace with or without physical pain. It won't be forever.
Amen.
This is a temporary thing here. One day, I'll be up in heaven and I won't be like this.
Amen.
But God says, my grace will carry you, Dale. I don't have time. I will finish this Wednesday because I need to get into something that's very important. And then we'll finish up Leviticus chapter 4 and Leviticus chapter 5. And so until then, I'm done. Pastor Ben, you're going to come up.
All right. Now, I have something I want to read to you, but I didn't want to do it while we're recording.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? I got a note from Trent Filer. And... He's up in the state of